We have an annual meeting today, and as soon as this service is over, this room is going to be transformed into a dining room for all of us. And those of you who haven't been to a Resurrection annual meeting, they're actually fun. But I want to press on here so I can see if I can make my 10-minute goal that I've set for myself. Is my wife here yet? There she is. Oh, yeah, there she is. I was talking to God the other day, and I said, Lord, what I'd like you to do, I know there are a couple of things that you have to do to make this possible. What I'd like you to do is go and find Halle Berry and tell her she's supposed to marry me. And the Lord said, well, all right, I can probably do that, but there are a couple of other things I need to get out of the way first. I have a request from your wife to go and tell Tom Cruise to marry her. And I've got to take care of that first. Unfortunately, Tom Cruise doesn't believe in me, so he's not listening. So you may have to wait a while before I can talk to Halle. Anybody believe this story? Where are you going with this? Thank you. I remember during Beatlemania in the 60s, there was an event where a young woman went up to John Lennon, and she said, God told me that you're supposed to marry me. And he said, well, as soon as he tells me that, I'll get back to you. And the reason I tell that joke about myself and my wife, by the way, I have to think my wife is cuter than Halle Berry, so I wouldn't actually have that conversation. She's also nicer and smarter and all of those things. She's a great, great lady. And I'd have to break Tom Cruise's legs if he got anywhere near. The reason I tell that story is because a lot of us, when we hear about the idea of somebody talking to God and actually hearing anything from him, we immediately say, oh, this has got to be Looney Tunes. They've got to be nuts if they think the creator of the universe has conversations with them and gives them instructions about what it is they're supposed to do. And so, not wanting to appear to be completely nuts, we often reject the idea entirely, or at least don't want to get ourselves involved in any suggestion that there might be some sort of communication between us and the Lord. And silly things like the joke I told about my wife and myself, or the woman who went up to John Lennon, make us afraid to embarrass ourselves by suggesting that maybe God talks to us or that we talk to God. And yet, Scripture is replete with instances of those who love the Lord being led by him, being guided by him, sometimes being spoken to explicitly by him, other times being given leading by him. And I think it is healthier for us to occupy a middle ground. And I've got to tell you, there's nothing harder to preach about than occupying middle ground. Because people on either end accuse you of who knows what. I mean, just all sorts of bad things. But I believe this is one of those instances where we really need to understand what the middle ground is. And what the middle ground is Scripture says God talks to us, and that we can talk to him, and that he leads us if we can learn to listen. And he leads us as to what we are to do. The scripture this morning from Amos, and I want to read you it from the New Revised because this sort of underscores my point, although it's there in the others. Maybe I'll read you a couple. The New Revised says, the Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? In other words, when he speaks, you can't shut up. The New Living says it this way, the sovereign Lord has spoken, I dare not refuse to proclaim his message. The challenge there is understanding what it is that the Lord says, how he says it, and how we are to share it. Now, I would tell you that I believe that he does have leadings for us as individuals if we are open to them. And I believe we can get completely wacko about it and go off the rails and go wandering around telling John Lennon that God said that he was supposed to marry me, or Halle Berry, or Tom Cruise, anything like that. We can go wacko that way. We can go wacko and get so full of ourselves that we start delivering words to other people that aren't from the Lord. They're really from our own sort of fix everybody around me up spirit, which ain't healthy. It's one of the reasons why in the prayer ministry training that we do here, one of the foundations of the training is we don't give advice. It's not what prayer is about. Prayer is about seeking God's presence for the blessing and healing of the people being prayed for. And as well-intended as the advice might be, unless you are absolutely certain the Lord has said, speak this out, shut up and just pray for God's presence, which is always welcome and always secure and always safe. But sometimes the Lord does lead us to say something. And there are two things that we teach as we train it that are essential in that. One is that we handle it lightly. We hold it lightly as we share it. We say, I'm not sure that this is a word from the Lord. It might be a leading, let me just share it. And if it is, then you'll know. Because it's not our job, by the forcefulness of personality or the deep voice, to convince people that something the Lord might have shown us is true. It's the Holy Spirit's job. He's the convictor. And so I can hold it just as light as air and say, I'm not even sure that this is from the Lord, but here's this. And if it is, the Holy Spirit will convict in all the best senses of that word. The other thing that we say is that nothing that we share, that we are led to pray for people or even led to share with them as a possible word, ever goes against God's counsel in Scripture. We can test it there. And if it doesn't follow his counsel in Scripture, you know it's not from him. And so you know that funny little conversation that I imagined having about Halle Berry? You can't have that conversation with the Lord because he doesn't permit that. My wife and I are a unity that he put together. He's not about to help me talk my way out of it with him. So it's got to follow what it says in Scripture. And so prophecy, as it says here in Scripture, the Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? By the way, if you hadn't noticed this in Scripture, when prophesy is spelled with an S, that's how it's pronounced, prophesy. When it's spelled with a C, it's pronounced prophecy. Prophecy is a noun, prophesy is a verb, with the S as the verb. Who can but prophesy? There are two primary ways that that happens, this prophesying. One is the sharing with others or following oneself, a leading that comes from the Lord. And the other is to speak forth God's truth. Primarily God's truth as he reveals it through the prophets and Scripture. And I want to give you an example of exactly that. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I want to read, this is verse 5. God himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. And then on to verse 13. If it seems that we are crazy, and I'll just parenthetically say there that if you really follow his leading both in Scripture and personally, there will be some, no matter how true you are to him, who will write you off and believe that you're crazy. Sometimes even just for the simple fact of believing in God, others for trying to live a life consistent with what he's called us to do. And I don't mean that in any sort of legalistic sense. I just mean living a life which gives honor to the one who made us. If it seems that we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. whatever we do, it is because Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for everyone, we also believe that we have all died to the old life we used to live. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live to please themselves. Instead, they will live to please Christ, who died and was raised for them. And I'm just going to pause here for a moment again. What it means to please Christ is all summed up in the two commandments, which Jesus said are the greatest. Love God with everything that you've got, and love your neighbor as yourself. So when we do that, we please Christ. Please Christ has a whole lot less to do with doing church right or even acting holy than it does to do with the simple care of others and those who are in need. And if we do that, we please Christ. He said everything hangs on these two commandments. Everything hangs on these two. Love God with everything you've got and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And the example he gave of a neighbor was a despised Samaritan, somebody who would normally be considered our enemy. He said elsewhere, love your enemies and pray for them. That's not different than loving your neighbor, because the neighbor in his example was a despised person. And so it doesn't matter if we despise someone for whatever reason, we are still called on by Jesus to love them as we love ourselves. This is not trivial. I'm sure everybody's noticed that. It's not trivial. It's hard stuff. So he says this. Those who receive his new life will no longer live to please themselves. Instead, they will live to please Christ, who died and was raised for them. Verse 16. So we have stopped evaluating others by what the world thinks about them. Man, if we just did that, the world would change in about a minute. We have stopped evaluating others by what the world thinks about them. Once I mistakenly thought of Christ that way, as though he were merely a human being. How differently I think about him now. What this means is that those who become Christians become new persons. They are not the same anymore, for the old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all this newness of life is from God, who brought us back to himself through what Christ did. And now here's what everything in this sermon hangs on. This is the bottom line, the foundation of all of it. From 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19 and 20. The end of 18. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. This is the wonderful message he has given us to tell others. We are Christ's ambassadors, and God is using us to speak to you. God is using us to speak to you. That's the extraordinarily good news of what Christ did for us. And I'm not making this up. This is from 2 Corinthians 5. It's in Scripture. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. This is the wonderful message he has given us to tell others. The Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy. If you know that good news, if you know that's the good news, how could you keep it to yourself? How could I keep it to myself? Through Christ, he reconciles the world to himself, no longer counting their sins against them. Can you think of a person you've ever met who wouldn't like to know that? Who wouldn't be blessed to know that? Who wouldn't be transformed by knowing that? And here the Lord God has spoken. How can we but prophesy? Amen.